Well, over the last 6 weeks, football players have been suiting up with gear. We've had bowl games after bowl games, ending in the national championship at the Sugar Bowl. There's another football game, another bowl game happening this afternoon that I'm sure you're all aware of. It's the Toilet Bowl, right? So, students against adults. And some adults who probably should be hanging up the cleats and the helmet sometime soon. You're welcome to join us this afternoon, guys, girls, any ages. If you just want to come and grab a lawn chair and watch, it's at Armstrong Middle School, just right down 18th Street here for the Toilet Bowl. And for those of you who can't make the Toilet Bowl, there's the Super Bowl, the bowl of all bowls. It's the greatest bowl. It's the one to culminate the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Toilet Bowl, all those bowl games is this afternoon. And what's going to happen is the players are going to suit up with their helmets, their shoulder pads, all the equipment that they need. But more than that, they've got coaches who are equipping them with what they need to know, studying film, studying the playbooks. Coaches are motivating them today. I'm sure there'll be a pregame speech and a halftime speech where the coaches are reaching their heart for these players to give it their all, to play with passion and heart. And then, of course, the skills that they've been developing over a lifetime. But coaches have been fine-tuning and equipping them to play their best at the most important moment, to win the Super Bowl. The coaches are giving them all that they need, equipping them with what they need in their head, with what they need in their heart, and what they need with their hands to win, to be successful. Well, long before King David was successful, long before King David became king, and even before he faced the giant Goliath on the battlefield, God had equipped him with everything that he needed. Head, heart, hands, to serve the Lord. In one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 78, Asaph gives instruction to young men and women of how to live a life that honors and glorifies God. And our corporate responsibility, Israel's responsibility specifically, to train the younger generation, even a generation yet to be born, of the promises and the goodness of God, what they needed to know and who they needed to know in order to live a godly life. And Asaph says this about David. He says, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. He brought him from tending ewes to be shepherd over his people Jacob, over Israel's inheritance. He shepherded them with a pure heart and guided him with skillful hands. Head, heart, hands. That's what David needed to shepherd his people. And that's what we need to serve the Lord. Not just pastors and elders shepherding, but for all of us, leading someone to a closer walk with Jesus. That's our vision as a church, to equip you as the body of Christ with the knowledge, the heart, the love, and the skills that you need to faithfully serve the Lord, not only from your head, not just from your heart, but also with your hands. Over the last several weeks, we've been walking through our mission statement as a church, wanting you to know it and embrace it so that we can live it out. This mission that comes from the Great Commission and all of Scripture, that we lead all people around us, all generations, all different kinds of people, to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. And so over the last several weeks, we've been hearing from different members of our body, leaders and pastors and elders, of how it's our desire to be a worshiping church, to be a going church, to be a growing and maturing church, to be an equipping church. And next week, we'll talk about being a unifying church. But this morning, we want to talk about being an equipping church, one that gives you the skills that you need to faithfully serve the Lord from a right heart because of Christ and with the right knowledge and maturity. Our vision statement for being an equipping church, you'll find on our website and all kinds of different places. But specifically, what we want to do is we want to see our church being the kind of people that prepare children, adults, and students with a biblical worldview in order to effectively engage the empty philosophies of this world through strategic and biblical apologetics. We want to help children and students and adults of all ages discover their divine design, so that each one of us can utilize our unique skills and abilities to serve Christ, not only in our church, but in our community and in our families. We want to seek to maximize the facilities, the campus that God has provided for us here, in order to reach future generations, even generations yet to be born 50 years from now. We want to be prepared for that. And we want to be a warm and welcoming place where we host Bible classes or other classes, small groups, Bible studies, prayer, ministry team meetings, and groups from our community that benefit not only our church, but our community as a whole. In other words, our vision, our game plan for ministry is to be an equipping church. And we want to do that by, first of all, training you to think and to live biblically. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, "I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter, the 12, and over 500 at one time." We want to train you to think and live biblically with this truth of who Jesus is and what he did for us, with the assurance and the confidence that it's not just rumor, it's not just religion, but it's about a relationship with Jesus who lived. He was buried because he died, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sent his Spirit to empower us and indwell us to live for him. We want you to know more than just the knowledge of that, but that it impacts how you live, that you carry out that truth. In Colossians, Paul says this. He says, "Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit, which is based on human tradition, rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ." We want to equip you with the truth so that you have knowledge and information and skills to have some solid tactics to be able to talk to teachers and college professors, coworkers, others around you of who Jesus is and why we have more than just the Bible, but we have evidence of all that God has created, of who Jesus is and what he's done for us and the hope and life that we have in Jesus Christ. That combats some of the empty philosophies and traditions and politics of this world so that we can live and love with grace and truth. You know, it's our strategic game plan to teach children and students and adults to think and to live with a biblical worldview. We want to do this by some specific training and education. In fact, one of the things that is an outworking of this vision is we've begun changing how we're teaching and equipping our fourth and fifth graders. We've recognized that they are at a unique age where their minds and ability to process is growing rapidly and specifically. And so rather than teaching them in the same way that they've been taught all their lives through effective ministries up through third grade, we want to help fourth and fifth graders not only know what they believe, but more specifically, why they believe what they believe. Is it just because that's all they've been taught? Is that just because what we've taught them as parents? Or do they embrace the truth of who Christ is on their own. We want to help them grapple with the truth of God's world, of God's word, as they begin to live more and more in this world, as they're influenced more and more by media, social media, movies, music, YouTube, all the things that are impacting their world and pushing them to embrace the empty philosophies and human traditions of this world. We want to help them live in that world with the truth of who God is, where they embrace their faith and have to wrestle with it. What about science? What about philosophy? What about the things of this world? We want to equip them and equip all of us to understand our enemy's tactics in this world, be able to ask and answer really good questions. We want to train our entire body, but especially our children and our students, with how to think biblically and live it out in their lives. We want to train you to think and live with those skills. Secondly, we want to encourage you to serve the Lord personally, practically. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8 say this. Paul says, "Now we all have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So according to the grace that is given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, use it in teaching. If exhorting, use it in exhortation. If in giving, give with generosity. Leading, will lead with diligence. If your gift is showing mercy, then show it with cheerfulness." Notice the repeating thing that Paul says, that God has given each of us gifts to use, to serve. And we want to provide the opportunities and equip you and encourage you to serve the Lord personally with the gifts and abilities that God has given you. So the question that we want to ask you regularly, and I want to ask you specifically today, is how and where, or where and how, are you using your shape to serve the Lord? Shape is just an acronym for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, your personality, and your experiences, either good ones or difficult ones, painful ones. How is God using the way that He is shaping you to serve others? And more specifically, where are you using those gifts? And if you're not, why not? There are all kinds of different ways and places for you to serve. You know, as we go about wanting to equip our church, one of the focuses, not the most important, but a strategic priority, is serving in children's ministry and student ministry. In fact, our greatest resource of ministry are people using their gifts to serve children and families and students and their families. Because statistically, that's where most people come to trust Christ, when they're young. And we want to equip them with the ability to think and live biblically. And so we need lots of people using their gifts in all kinds of ways, up front, behind the scenes, teaching, organizing, playing, laughing, singing, all kinds of different ways. Our children's ministry team goes about equipping and training and protecting us in such a way that we can use our gifts, whether on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday afternoon. A current need that's there that I was made aware of this week is for 3- and 4-year-olds right now, during the service, for people to use their gifts to serve the children and to love them. Maybe you don't feel like you can get on your hands and knees and play with kids, but we need help with check-in for safety and security. Maybe you could do that. Maybe your gifts are encouraging. How often are you using those gifts to write notes or send a text or encourage others? Where and how are you using the shape that God has given you? We provide all kinds of different opportunities, especially on Wednesday nights. We've got something for children, Awana Clubs, student ministries, and ESL of people using their gifts to serve others. I heard this week that we've had over 100 people registered for ESL, learning English. And they're coming not just because they want skills in English. Certainly that is a presenting issue. But most people I know that are living here in the United States that haven't mastered English, they're lonely. They're looking for friendships. How are you using your gifts to simply be a friend and to help and serve others? Part of our vision, our game plan, is to encourage you to serve the Lord personally. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says this, "Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God." You're here this morning, and if you're a believer in Christ, not only do you have abilities and talents and a personality, but you've got God's Holy Spirit indwelling you that is supernaturally equipping you to serve others in a wide variety of ways. And if you're not using it, then it's not that you're just not getting on the field. You're not even coming to the game. We need you. And if you don't know where to serve, call me or Ryan Reeves, Craig Williams, Susan McKenzie with their children's ministry. We'll help you find a place where you can do what you were created and made to do with your shape so that you can use it for the glory of God. Third, we want to train you to do the work of ministry. We want to train you. We want to equip you for you to do the work of the ministry. What I see my role as is that of coach, maybe more player coach. And that of our pastors and elders is to create the environment, to put you in a position to use your gifts, creating opportunities, shepherding you, loving you. For the deacons, making sure that we have a place and space in the finances, that everything runs smoothly so that you can serve and be ready to be an active member of the body of Christ, using your gifts to serve others. We're the coaches. Y'all are the players. And what I think we're going to see on the field tonight during the Super Bowl is coaches don't play. Coaches coach, and they can give some instruction during the game, but it's up to the quarterback, the running back, the defensive back, the lineman to do their job, what they're equipped and ready to do with the head and the heart and the hands and skills that they've been given to play the game. That's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "And God himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." God gave some to be leaders, evangelists, pastors and teachers. They're the coaches. We're all the players. Ministry isn't just my job because I'm in the ministry. No, ministry is our job because we have a ministry to serve the Lord. We have a mission of leading all people to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. And that means we all have a job to do. The work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So the work that goes on here isn't just my job. It isn't just the elder's job. It's not just the deacon's job. It's not just ministry leaders' jobs. It's our job together. It's our work. Well, what kind of work? Paul says it's the work of the ministry, serving, caring, loving, teaching, administrating, loving, texting, calling, visiting, helping. All the different things that you uniquely were shaped to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, so that we all grow to maturity, not just children, not just students, but all of us have some growing up to do. We all have some skills that we can fine-tune and develop to be more effective, to be more fruitful for Christ. It's our work, it's our desire, it's my passion and joy to train you and to equip you as a player coach to do the work of the ministry. And one of the things that I learned long ago is that I'm not going to try and lead us anywhere as a church as far as my role as a pastor. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm unwilling to do. On the other hand, some of you can do some things much better than I can ever do. I'm more of a generalist. I can do a lot of things well. But there's not one particular thing that I think I'm great at. But some of you are great at showing mercy. And instead of being critical of just what we're not doing and showing enough mercy, use your gifts. You show more mercy, and we as a church will show more mercy. Maybe we're not as organized or as high tech as we could be or should be. Rather than being critical of that, use your gifts to help us administrate better, to continue to use technology or software. And the examples could go on and on, right? If you're not using your shape to serve the Lord, then we're not going to be as effective as we could be in fulfilling our mission as a church. We need you. We want you, regardless of your age. Fourth, we want to provide opportunities and prepare you to reach our community. Because our mission as a church is not just to lead church people to a relationship with Jesus. No, it's to go into all the world, starting in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth, through those who are here locally, all the way through our missionaries and supporting them and encouraging them, praying for them. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote this. He said, "Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal to the world through us. So we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You are ambassadors from heaven to earth with a ministry of reconciling people with God. Now, here's an interesting thing that it seems to me as we think about this dual citizenship that we have as believers in Christ. The first and foremost, if we have placed our trust in Christ, our eternal home, where we're going to spend eternity, not just a few decades, but eternity in heaven, that's our home. And until we arrive there and see Jesus face to face, we are here as ambassadors to another country, to another place. And so if we have this ministry, this task of reconciliation, seeing men and women, boys and girls reconciled with God, our role as ambassadors is to represent that kingdom here on earth with this ministry, this purpose, this mission of reconciliation. And yet, we might be also citizens of the United States or Mexico or Russia or wherever it might be. But one of the dangers that we begin to get into is when our role as citizens here on earth is a greater priority than our mission as ambassadors of heaven. And so using the football analogy, if you will with me again, our role is not to support one team or the other, one country or another, one political group or another, because we're from a different kingdom. Our role is more of referee than playing for one team or the other. And where we get distracted from our mission is when we become a bigger fan of one of the teams on the field rather than representing Christ and his kingdom and his rules, his priorities here on earth. And when we're aligned with one country or one party more than another, our ministry of reconciliation, our role as ambassador, is watered down and hindered. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't get involved in the world and serve the world and serve our community. No, if anything, it gives us more purpose of caring for the poor, of standing up for justice, of doing what's right, what's fair, what's loving, what's kind. He has shown you, O man, what is good, what is right, to live justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God here on earth, knowing that our eternal home is somewhere else. And we're just here representing that kingdom until we go home. And so it's our desire as a church to provide opportunities and prepare you to reach this world for Christ, to be ambassadors from heaven to earth, reconciling men and women, boys and girls, with Christ. That's our mission. And so we want to equip you with ways to share the gospel, tactics for how to simply have a conversation and turn it not to political things or to temporary things or to trivial things, but turn it to things that really matter of a relationship with Jesus Christ, of how you can simply serve others in a loving, gracious way that provides an opportunity for people to ask you for the reason, for the hope that you have, so that you can do it with gentleness and respect. What are the ways that you can serve in your community? What are the ways that you can be involved in meeting the needs of others? What are the opportunities that you have to pray for others and to look for opportunities to share your faith with them? Last night, Robert Matthews was recognized for his service in the community, serving with the Plano Police and Fire for over 32 years. Now, he retired from the ministry, in 2013? But he's still doing ministry, using the shape and the opportunities and his experience to serve others. And I know from Robert's character and his love for the Lord that he is an ambassador here on earth with a ministry of reconciliation, reaching into the fire and the police departments, as well as all the support that goes with that. We're using your shape to reach your community. What are the opportunities that God has given you where you could serve? Well, it's our desire as a church to equip you not only with how to do it, but where to do it. Opportunities to be involved. We've already talked about Awana clubs on Wednesday nights, where we have boys and girls who are coming both from our church and from our community that need loving care of someone to help them memorize Scripture. And not just the knowledge of it, but the heart of it. So we can train them to serve him with their hands. Many of you have been serving in a local ministry, and our students are going to be doing this in just a few weeks of Feed My Starving Children. It's just one opportunity that can lead into other opportunities to, to meet the needs of others in our community. In March, we're going to have another clothing drive to meet the needs of single-parent families in our community. And we don't want to do it just to only meet a physical need. We want to build relationships. We want to get to know them and do it consistently enough so that we are known and have the reputation of loving others and serving others. And maybe have an opportunity not just to love them and to meet a practical need, but also a relational need. And to lead them to a relationship with Jesus. We've got mission trips that we have done for years. We've got one coming up this summer to the Philippines. It's another opportunity for you to use your shape. We want to equip you to share the gospel in a different culture, to meet needs there, but also during that time to equip you to come back here and do the same thing here locally that we're equipping you and training you to do internationally. We also provide opportunities for mentoring and serving in our local schools. Cora Williams this past week posted some things on Facebook and sent out an email to all of us of opportunities. The local schools asking us and saying, can you send mentors to help us love kids, read to them? Got all kinds of opportunities and ways that you can do that. In addition to that, we've got an Easter egg hunt. We're going to do this Saturday before Easter right here at Foreman Elementary. Doing the work now to continue building relationships with the administration and the staff. Provide a safe, fun place for kids to come and have fun. But also for it to be another stepping stone for us to build relationships with people in our community so that we can be an ambassador for Christ and fulfill our mission of reconciliation. Later on this summer, we're going to have Vacation Bible School. You know, I could talk for really a long time, probably hours, about all the opportunities of ways that you can serve with us and the opportunities that Plano Bible Chapel is providing for you to help us reach our community, all people, with a life-changing relationship with Christ. Finally, we want to equip you to utilize your time and for us together to maximize the use of our PBC facilities to fulfill our mission as a church. In Ephesians 5, Paul says this, pay careful attention. Pay careful attention in how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. He says, pay careful attention how you live, that this careful attention, this careful living is essential to living wisely, to making the most of your time in order that we please the Lord during these dark days and chaos and confusion of our world. We live wisely when we use every opportunity we have to serve and to give to the Lord. And how do we live wisely and make the most of the resources God has given us as a church? What's how we spend our time and how we spend our money. The most important things of living wisely is how we spend our time and how we spend our money. It starts with the head. The information, the knowledge, the heart for the Lord and for his purposes in us to love him and to love others. But it also requires a releasing of the hands of our time and our money. For where your treasure is, there your heart and your head is going to be also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, a person should think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of the mysteries of God. In this regard, it is required that managers or stewards be found faithful. Are you faithful in your time to lead people to a relationship with Jesus? Or are there some areas and ways that you're squandering it? Now, certainly we all need rest and a healthy cycle of unwinding and downtime, time to read or energize yourself, whatever your personality and however you need to do that. But as you look at how you spend your time in this new year, are you spending it in ways that aren't wise? Spending too much time on your phone, too much time watching a screen, too much time reading that is beyond just healthy and growing and learning, too much time playing, too much time working. Well, what about your money? How are you investing, being a steward of not your money, but as we talked about during this past year, it's really all God's, isn't it? How are you managing? How are you a steward of all that God has given you, not only with your time, but also with your money and your treasures? You know, part of our vision, our game plan for completing our mission as a church involves our facilities. And ask our deacons and our Friday Fix-It crew. That requires a lot of time. And for all of us as a church, if we want to be a viable ministry and impact our community for years and decades to come, then we've got some investing, not only of our time and our hands, but also releasing our funds to serve the Lord, to be a faithful steward of all that God has provided for us. And so one of the things that we're working on this next year is our PBC Tomorrow plan, taking some time to game plan for our facilities, to provide some strategic long-range plans for our maintenance, for our renovations, and even considering some additions that need to be made, and to implement these plans methodically, to budget for them annually. And what that requires for all of us as players and coaches is to give financially to these things. Not just so that we have the best things, but so that we have a great place to grow, to be equipped, and to see ministry, especially and including opportunities for our community to come and for us to serve them and then go out to serve them. You know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And so as the players take the field tonight, they're going to be ready. They're going to be equipped. They've spent time studying film, game planning. The coaches have been encouraging them, motivating them, creating within them the heart to go out and give it their all, to do their best. They've walked through plans, developed their skills, practiced hard. They're going to be ready to play. Because success on the football field, but more importantly, success in us fulfilling our mission as a church, is to have the right head and the heart for the Lord and the skillfulness of hands to serve Him. And so, church, it's just time to play.